Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This summer, a lot of people will be spending more time at home, and that might be the perfect opportunity to tackle a major home improvement project. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today, and of course, he will answer your questions about any of the home improvement projects on your to-do list, but we're going to start with a big do-it-yourself project, building a deck. Bill, hello.
Good morning, Charity. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you so much for talking with us today. And
I think last month we established that wallpaper probably won't be a topic to cover today.
Right? No, wallpaper is off the list today. Although we will take your questions about wallpaper, but I think you already know Bill's answer. So
yes.
let's start with building a deck. Is this a project a novice can tackle?
You know, some of them are, as long as you have enough guidance. The American Wood Council has just probably the best resource that there is for constructing decks, because it's based on the residential building code. And it tells you pretty much how a deck is supposed to be put together. And some of the things you really have to be worried about, that a lot of people, especially my age, builders, you know, that we haven't changed maybe a lot of things, and there have been a lot of changes because there's been deck failures, you know, things like that. But the best thing is it does is it reminds you, you know, of the things that maybe you're not familiar with, the terminology, and then you realize, you know, this maybe is a step above what my skill level is. And so... You know, reading through this document, it can be kind of a, you know, something to put you to sleep at night. But it really does tell you whether you think you're capable of it by showing you fasteners and types of woods and, you know, things like live loads and dead loads and that has to be considered. And, you know, because a lot of people, you know, especially since I've been home, a lot have been either on Pinterest or have been, you know, looking at do-it-yourself channels where if they make a mistake, you know, they can just kind of re-edit it out of the frame and then make it look like, gee, that was easy after, you know, they probably dropped a deck on somebody's wheelbarrow or something. So you really have to do some research, especially on what you want. You know, you've got to ask yourself, you know, is this something that I just want to maybe just put a little 10-foot by 10-foot little deck that's just off the ground, you know, you just step out of the house and onto the deck, and we just sit there in chairs, maybe have a little barbecue, or is it something like, am I going to have a hot tub on it? And when you do your research, like look at these codes, when you throw the word hot tub in, which a lot of people have on their decks, all these codes and everything just, okay, now you've got to bring an engineer in, which a lot of times we never thought about that. We just, let's throw some extra bracing and columns underneath it. And
so it sounds
like
you're
saying,
do your homework.
Yeah.
And
yep.
Also have a real honesty session with yourself. Is this a moment where you just look at yourself hard in the mirror and say, what are my skills? What can I handle? But this is, it's a serious issue. It's not like you're just going to have a debacle. I mean, a deck holds humans, and there have been terrible disasters with decks collapsing over the years. And so this is something to take very seriously.
It is, especially when you look back at how we used to build them, like in the 70s and 80s. You know, we just thought when you put a deck up to a house, you just use really big nails, you know, and attach it. And deck failures, you know, usually aren't up and down. They're lateral sight, you know, left to right, or where it pulls away from the house. And there's new type of attachment methods that you have to use. But probably the biggest thing when we go back and look, especially when I go back and look at some of the things I did in the 70s, we would normally put a deck, say, up against a patio door, and we didn't know how to put patio doors in, right? And so they rotted out underneath. Well, then you're trying to attach a deck to all this rotten wood. So, it can, you know, you can go do a lot of investigation into how your floor on your home is built before you even think about attaching a deck, because you may have some big structural issues to handle before you even start putting a deck on.
Now, when I'm at the home improvement store, there are a whole bunch of books about deck building. There are lots and lots of plans out there. So, I mean, in a sense, somebody has done a lot of the hard work for you. If you want to purchase plans, you absolutely can do that. So, do you consider those to be good guidelines, good guides for building a deck?
They're a good start, especially if you're looking at design and what you want to have. But if you're living in a town, or a community or area that has a code official, what you'll want to do is, take the design that you see and maybe in that book or magazine and say, I want to build this. But I am going to follow the codes and say, will you, help me a little bit on this, and make sure that I'm doing right. And they'll almost always say yes, because technically you can't use that deck until it's been inspected if you're in a certain jurisdiction. So, yeah, you pick out what you want, show your, if you're going to do it yourself or the builder. And that tells them, okay, we're going to have to maybe look at all these soil things and all these other issues, not to mention, is it possible that I can put it on the house? In some areas, covenants won't allow you to put a deck within so many feet of a fence, and all these things. You've got to usually go to a code official and ask them, is this going to be, doable for us? But that's a really good spot to start, because that way you can pick out what kind of decking materials you want. Do I want to put a pergola on it? Am I going to make it a three seasons porch possibly? And then you get into a whole nother can of worms of attaching to the house with the roof, which is a whole nother issue.
So let's talk about materials. Let's say we're going to build a fairly basic deck, not a three-season porch. And we have to choose the materials to build the deck. We've learned a lot about building materials in recent years. How do we make a good choice?
Well, it's pretty much the standard that the framing itself would be, treated lumber. Every lumber yard and that can help you pick out, the sizes, but, that American Wood Council document, which is a free, you just download, it's 44 page, you just put in residential deck construction, and it's usually, when you Google something, it's usually the first thing that comes up, and it'll tell you how large the joists may be. But, it's just usually treated lumber. But then, the decking itself, that's where all these issues come into play. The treated lumber, if it's put on correctly, is going to last the life of the deck. Usually 20, 30 years, and people want to change after that anyway. But the decking itself, the stuff you walk on, when you're looking at wood, you're looking at, like cedar or treated lumber, or you're looking at these polymer and plastic wood combination, composites. And they're usually, quite a bit more expensive with the composite decking, but that's just first cost. Like composites, they cost a lot of money, but yet, what's the maintenance side on it? You wash it down a couple times, once in a while, you scrub it down. But when you look at wood, we have so many problems with, stain looking good and keeping it looking good. You're looking at least every 2 years, you're going to have to resand or reseal or restain. Every other year, you really got to do a super clean on it. There's a ton of maintenance. Usually, a lot of the articles you read, it's usually like five times the cost of maintenance on a wood than a composite. So, the thing is the color ranges you can get with the composites is nice as well.
So with all of that maintenance, that's another important question, because I think, again, a moment for self-reflection and honesty, a lot of us don't do it. So if we're not doing that every couple of years, what's the impact of that? Are we limiting the life of that deck?
Well, yeah, you can, because especially treated lumber, especially if it's an area that the sun doesn't get to, and there's a lot of, say, trees around and in moisture, that wood, starts to deteriorate. Yet, the treated deck is is usually they call it, it's rated for ground contact or, you know, just regular decking boards. And that treatment isn't all the way through the wood. It's just kind of a surface treatment. And, you know, I've seen decks with the boards themselves. If you don't do anything to them and they kind of stay damp for a while, they only last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, there's always that maintenance. I'm kind of we've got a cedar deck, and I hope if Donna's listening, I hope I don't get myself in trouble here, but I really, you know, I like with cedar, letting it age and getting it gray. And some people think, oh, geez, that looks dirty. Well, you know, I'll just take a pressure washer every 3 or 4 years and give it a light cleaning. So it kind of looks like new. That's kind of my theory. I figure, you know, it's going to last 20, 30 years. But like some of these woods where it's shady, where it's dark, where maybe walnut trees or leaves congregate, that deck can rot. And what we've really seen over the last few years is we're tearing the deck boards up, and then we're looking at the top of the floor joists, all the framing, and where the nails or screws went in. We just would go from wood to wood. Now we've learned that we need to put a barrier, and basically like an adhesive paper, like an asphalt coated or butyl coated tape on top of the floor joists, so that when the nails or screws go through, that it keeps the water from going down the nail or screw into the top of the joist and rotting the joist out. That's kind of our biggest thing for maintenance. The deck may look great, but where the water goes between the boards on a wood deck, and it follows that nail down, the top inch and a half of the deck can possibly be rotten. And I know a lot of builders have seen this. And so it's recommended most of the time now that you put this like a butyl or an asphalt tape over the top of the floor joist before you put the decking down. Because these decks are designed to carry a certain load. You take the top inch and a half or so out of that, then it can't carry what it's designed for. Because most decks are designed for, they say, 40 pounds per square foot live load. That's of people. Well, you know, if I'm standing someplace, I'm more than using up my 40 pound per square foot. I'm so stinking fat that, you know, if I have all my friends stand on it, we've pretty much maxed out that deck as far as what can carry.
Right. Well, so you're making me feel very secure about standing on decks. We are going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment with our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Home Improvement Day today on Talk of Iowa with our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally. We've been talking about building decks and also taking maybe a good hard look at your deck to make sure that it's safe. You might have a home improvement project you weren't counting on to work on this summer. And Bill, of course, we'll also answer your questions about any of the home improvement projects on your list. Give us a call, 866-780-9100, 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And Bill, we'll start with this question from Brenda. She says, we built a freestanding deck last year. It's 1 footish off the ground and right next to the house. I'd like to put on a clear corrugated plastic roof with no sides. Any tips? I have 6 young adults to help and no real idea how to proceed. So that's a good workforce.
Yeah. If Brenda's living in town, she's probably going to have to check with an inspector. Different communities have different rules on whether you need a permit and what's structural, what isn't. So she'll want to check there. Plus, the thing is, it would really be good to have someone take a look, either a contractor that experienced in doing like a structural issue like this, or have the city inspector take a look. Because there's a, when you attach, let's say, just what you seem to think is just a lightweight, you know, clear roof over the top, when we get heavy snow loads, which in some cases, you know, it may collapse where you attach this deck or this roof to the existing roof. So there has to be some structural inspections done to see if where you attach this new roof to the existing one, if it's capable of carrying it, and how you're going to anchor the other end, because you are going to have to think about snow loads. You know, we're every once in a while, we get really dumped, with that really heavy, wet snow, which creates a lot of weight. And, you know, if the other thing is on an existing home, you know, people sometimes have ice dams, and we've talked about those before. But when you attach something like this, it may change the pitch. It might be less of a pitch, or maybe flat. So everything that comes down that roof comes down and lands right at that transition where the two roof angles or pitches are at. And you could actually have a horrible ice dam issue right there where it could back up and maybe get in. I've seen it where it actually backs up and water comes running down the inside of the wall. I'm sounding really negative today.
Well, so let's.
I just don't want people to have, right, you know, have these problems. That's the thing.
And let's parse this a little bit, though. She says it's a freestanding deck, so it's not attached to the house, right? So if they chose to put a roof over the deck and not attach the roof to the house, I mean, that gives them a little more flexibility, right?
Yeah, I guess in my mind, I was thinking a freestanding deck that was butted against the house. Okay, so if you're just, let's say you're out there 4 or 5 feet away from the house. Yeah, sure, that's not tough. That's not tough at all. You just want to make sure that the posts or the columns that hold up the roof are anchored either into the ground or anchored very, very well to the deck with bolts or treated wood specific lag screws and bolts, and well braced, like diagonal bracing, to keep it from rocking left and right. Because when you have something with the roof out in the yard, sometimes you get enough uplift. You know, it's kind of like those bouncy houses sometimes you see that take off. Well, sometimes if you're not on the deck and you have a large enough roof in certain areas, it can start picking it up, and then it wiggles the posts around a little bit where, you know, they're not solid. But there's a lot of plans, downloadable plans on what kind of design and how to attach it. But if you've got, really all you need is four friends, one can hold up each post and you go from there. They've got plenty of help.
Six young adults versus four adult friends, that probably evens out. So that sounds pretty good.
You know, like if it's done on a Saturday, you know, at least two out of the six are probably on beverages of some sort, which isn't the best safety issue. So.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next question. Darren in Rock Island. 8 years ago, I installed a large cedar deck in May. It is 2 and 3 feet off the ground. I waited until the end of summer to stain it and selected a high-end solid color stain. It was hot to warm for days, and I allowed it to thoroughly dry. The next spring, the stain had chipped like paint. I've had to restain it every 1 to 2 years since, as it continues to chip, not fade. How can I stain and prevent chipping, understanding I will get fading, but I wouldn't need to scrape it?
You know, I hear this a lot. In fact, a friend of mine that's an architect is looking at sanding his whole deck because of, you know, this issue. And in fact, on one of my kids' houses, their deck kind of does this too. What I would do is I would go back to where you bought the material, take a sample, if you can, a piece of that wood, and ask them, okay, you know, you tell me what went wrong, or you're going to have to download the directions of that particular product. Because when some products, maybe it gets a little bit of, they call it crazing on the top, a little bit of dust, that it will not penetrate correctly and it'll peel off. And I was told by a scientist at the Wood Products Laboratory in Madison, Wisconsin, that especially like with cedar, that if you leave it out in the sun for one day, just one day before you put your finish on it, you're going to have to sand it, not with a real fine sand, but enough to eliminate this crazing off the top before you put it on. He says it gets that much breakdown, and that just amazed me. So I would check with that, and if you don't get a good answer from either the supplier or from the manufacturer, the Wood Products Laboratory. They have an online number there where you can check with them and ask them, because they're really experts on what adheres to what and what causes specific issues like that. You hear a lot of it with cedar.
Yeah, and chipping and scraping is no fun.
Yep.
So understandable.
No, it isn't. And and I always look at, you know, the surface isn't so bad, but you know, on the seams, on the cracks, you know, you still have to get down in there and get that all taken off, so it does take the stain or sealer.
Let's go to the phones. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Wolf is on the line in Solon. Hello, Wolf.
Hi there.
Hi.
Got a question for Bill, or a couple.
Go for it. You talked
about them strips. You talked about them strips you put on the joists.
Yes.
Do they sell those an inch and a half wide? And
Yeah, they do. Yep. And some of them are slightly wider, you know, and you may see them from below. But what I did, and that's just me personally, I mean, I'm not recommending anything. What I did is I looked at the price, and then I thought, you know, I can buy, or I can find a whole lot of ice and water shield. You know, it's that adhesive felt paper you use on like the first two courses of a roof. And I just cut that into strips and put that on top. I had some that was easy. And I've used bitumine as well, a waterproofing product. I've cut strips of that if you have some of that around.
Right. And you said that the space between the deck boards, I may have misunderstood what you said about that.
Okay.
But there's no nails there, right? There's
no nails. I guess. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay. What I meant was the, you know, between the top of the joist, and I meant that space between the top of the joist and the deck, not in between the actual deck boards.
Yeah.
Where it's going is so if you put the we're just thinking two different things. Wherever that nail or screw go, you know, usually a screw goes down, that water goes in between the deck boards themselves, and then sneaks around and goes down those screws, and sometimes it doesn't take very long. Sometimes it doesn't happen.
Well, I guess the way I'm envisioning this is that there's a hole in that bitumen. Anyway, I don't understand how that keeps the water.
Yeah, well, it seals. Yeah, it seals around it. That's kind of like why they use ice and water shield, is because, like with the ice and water shield or bitumen, you know, you could put 100 roofing nails in a foot and you won't get any leaks. Because it seals around it. That's
question,
the key.
Just a quick question is, what's the untreated material, which I'm planning to replace the deck with, what's the spacing on the deck boards? Do you butt them up against each other? Because I know they'll shrink over time. And so you want, you have one little space. You want a little space in between them.
Yeah, I've been caught so many times on that. Because it really depends on the moisture content of the treated wood that you get. I've gotten some that was super dry, and then I put, sometimes I'd use like a quarter inch, let's say, and all of a sudden I get a rain, and then the decking is up against each other. That, because you know, when you, especially when you buy in bulk, or the company you buy from buys in bulk, they might have just gotten that from the treatment plant, you know, a couple days ago, and that is just so saturated. And then you put a quarter inch spacing, next thing you know you got a half inch space in between.
So I guess
that's the big key.
The other thing is, you know, there's a grain on those boards, and I've always heard that you put the curve on the grain up.
Because if you put, what you're looking at is the end grain of the board. And so you want the arches going up, because if you turn it over and then they'll cup it, you know, when it dries, because that's the direction that actually, when it does dry, is it rotates inwards, which would be up. And then you're every other board, you're sitting there tripping over it. Right.
Yep. I get it. I get that, that's a really good point on that. putting those that treatment on the joists. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. You bet.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Wolf. You can give us a call, 866-780-9100. Teresa's up next, also in Solon. Hello, Teresa.
Gee whiz. Hello. You know, hi, Charity and Bill. My question has to do with maintenance on a composite deck. Okay. We generally will color spray it each spring just to get the dirt and some of the green kind of buildup off of it. But the last couple of springs, we've noticed that some of the green of the composite seems to be coming off, too, as we spray. Any suggestions on maintenance for that?
Well, I would check on the brand. You know, like it's probably something like Trex or you know, some of these other brands. But check with the brand if you can get a hold of that and look at the manufacturer's okay. instructions for cleaning. Because some of the older, I guess, chemical makeups, it seemed like when we either used a certain type of a cleaner, it might have had too much of a, I wouldn't call it acidic, but the same type of reaction that would kind of degrade the top of the deck. And so when you would power wash, especially if you got too close. Yeah, you know, the other thing is this deck in the full sun all the time?
No, it's not. It is not.
Okay. All right. Good. Okay. Because sometimes, you know, that seems the ultraviolet light on some of the brands seems to break it down a little bit, and then you power wash it, and you almost have this not smooth finish anymore, but almost like a grit, like a sandpaper finish if it's broken down a little bit. Yeah. But I would check with that manufacturer because they may have a specific cleaner developed for your particular decking material.
Okay, we will do that. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Teresa. Next up, we've got Carol in Mason City. Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Hi, what's your question?
Well, it's also about my composite deck, which was put in 2002, and it looked like a brand new deck every year because I would just scrub it with water and a brush. I was told never to power clean it because it would take the grain off. But my problem is, 3 years ago, the two maple trees that are about 10 feet from the deck started getting green, like a green mildew or slime or something on the bark. And so 3 years ago, it started coming up on my deck. And I've scrubbed it every year with a deck cleaner. I've used a solution of Dawn and vinegar and water. I have scrubbed the daylights. I can't get the green off, and last year's green turns brown, but this year's green is bright green. I don't know what to scrub it with.
You know, I really don't either, because on some of the composites, that was, you know, some of the hits against the composite where the dark colors get so hot you can't walk on it barefooted and things like that.
Oh,
but like the number two or three issue was staining. And that once it gets into that material, that you can't get it out, or you have to find some specific product that will pull it out. But I've heard the same issue, and I wish I knew, had a better answer for you. But that has been some of the problems, that some stains will stain it and it's permanent. But there may be a remedy. I know with the power washing, you know, the problem is like, you should never hand me a power washer because I always get way too close because I really want to clean something. And so, yeah, you're supposed to do, if you power wash, you just do it lightly, you know, basically almost like just a little bit more than a garden hose. But the way you're cleaning it is, you know, by far the best way. It's labor intensive, but yeah. I mean, you've got 18 years out of that, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had a better answer. And there may be something online on how to take stains out, but, you know, I'm not familiar with it at all. It's just a lot of people have had to live with them, and there's probably somebody out there that, oh, I know how to do it. Well,
you've taken the guilt off my shoulders, because I thought, I'm doing something wrong.
Oh, no, I tell you.
Just the way it looks.
You should put a trophy in your window on top-notch deck care is what you should do.
I'll do that today.
All right. right.
It hasn't buckled. It hasn't cracked. It's a wonderful deck, but it's looking kind of odd.
So, all right,
okay,
Carol.
Well, yeah. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call. You can join the conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today, and he's here to answer your questions. We have been talking mostly about decks, but you can ask Bill pretty much anything. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Backcountry in Des Moines, a boutique that believes, as Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness. Located at 2702 Beaver Avenue, Backcountry curates clothing and gear for people who travel in mind now and in person soon.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, is here today. And we have been talking about decks, but Bill will answer your questions about any of the home improvement projects on your to-do list. Give us a call. 866-780-9100 is the number. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we do have a lot of deck questions. Dennis is on the line next in Polk City. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, I have a redwood and cedar deck, and I have treated it once with Brazilian oil with penta in it, but I just wanted to know if there is a different product that's better for redwood and cedar.
I've pretty much, everybody that I have talked with cedar redwood have used the penta products or Penafin oil. They've really kind of stuck with that. Are you not happy with the look or?
The deck treatment I got was for free and I didn't know if that was the right stuff.
A lot of people use that, especially like a Penafin oil or Brazilian oil. On cedar and redwood. The one thing, though, about misconceptions that we have about a redwood, the redwood isn't in the ground, or they're not redwood columns or anything, are they?
No.
Okay. Because almost all the redwood that we get now is from young growth redwood. It's not, the old growth where, like you see on these old houses in California, they say, well, the redwood lasts for hundreds of years. Well, the young growth redwood really doesn't last any longer than a regular old 2x4. So just try to keep up on treating that, especially if you get splash water on it or snow buildup or in a wet area.
Yeah, the only thing have is I have some Virginia creeper running on it, too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would take a look, though, as far as redwood. They may have come out with some stuff that a lot of people don't use redwood anymore because it's too expensive, for one thing. But there may be some other new finishes. But since you've got this for free, I wouldn't have a problem using it at all.
All right. Dennis, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. And guess what? We do have someone who has an idea of how to get the green out of the deck. Michael from Des Moines. Hi, Michael.
Hi. Nice talking to you today.
Yeah. What's your suggestion?
Well, what I do is when I clean the deck, I just spray it lightly and then wash it off. Let it dry for a day, and then the next day I'll take a hand sprayer and mix a combination of 50% water and 50% bleach. Spray it on lightly. Don't scrub it. Let it evaporate. Takes the green right out.
All right, Michael.
Michael, this was on a composite deck?
On a composite deck, right.
All right.
Yeah, the plastic deck. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks
a lot,
Michael.
That's what we like to hear. See?
Carol,
I hope you heard the right listeners.
We do. We do. All right. Walt is on the line next in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Walt.
Hello.
Hi. What's your question?
Thanks. The sealers they've come out with, I know there's a class action suit against one that's common, but I used one a couple of years ago from Pittsburgh Paint Revitalize, and it's been holding up very well on about an eight-year-old deck. And had no problems with it. I wonder if he had any experience, good or bad, with any of these types of, I guess they're a new type of sealer.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because when that product first came out, you know, I thought, oh man, this is just, you know, the beeswax here. But yeah, those class action lawsuits came out, and I think it scared everybody. A buddy of mine's got, he put that particular product on, the Pittsburgh one, in Arkansas on the south side with no overhang on older treated lumber. And it looks just like the day it was put on. And he got this like right after this product came out. And I think what the biggest thing is, it's more the preparation. And I know, you know, that's probably what the companies are saying too, but I think it's more the preparation, this personal opinion, than the actual product, because there's so much work into prepping it exactly the way the product says it's supposed to be done. And I kind of think that's what it is, because like say yours looks great. And I put it on some boards, a walkway, it was actually a retractable treated wood walkway. And I had them put some of that, a grit on the inside of it, you know, so you wouldn't slip on it. And that looks just like the day I put it on too. But, I think a lot of it is that prep. Cause his looks just like the day you put it on. It's been 7 years now.
All right. Well, thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. We have a question here that is not about a deck. This is from Sheila. Are there any wood-burning fireplaces with a fan that make a house warmer and don't suck all of the heat out of the house? Or are gas ones better? What do you think, Bill?
Well, if your house is fairly airtight, you know, they most good wood stoves, even though they're really good, a lot of building scientists buddies of mine say the absolute worst thing you ever want to do is put a wood burning stove on the inside of a home that's, you know, fairly new or airtight, because there's a lot of, you know, indoor air quality issues and everything. But when you actually get them off the side, almost every one of them has a wood burner, which is always fun to hear. But there are some that have fans, but they also have a designed outdoor air intake, so it brings in, you know, air from outside, combustion air, and combusts it. But that's the, you know, the downside though is you're still going to have, you know, poor indoor air quality issues possibly with having a wood burner. But yeah, you do not want to have a wood burner that doesn't bring air from outside. Like a fireplace, you know, that's a whole nother issue. Fireplaces, they suck all the heat. I mean, they're worse than anything, because when you're not burning the fire, there's air going up the flue that you've already heated. And when you are burning a fire in a fireplace, usually it's taking air that's inside the house, going up the flue along with the gases and that from the actual fire. There's really no benefit at all, except, gee, it looks pretty, for a fireplace, but the designed wood stoves, there's some very, very good wood stoves, and they're not cheap. The best ones actually come out of the best rated ones come out of Canada. But, you know, for a good wood burner, a designed one with outside air intake and a sealed door system on them, you know, they're going to run $2,500 to $3,000 at a minimum just for the stove, let alone all the pipe.
All right. So they're out there, but they're going to cost you a pretty penny.
You know, you buy one that's, you know, $300 to $500, you know, you're just getting basically an outside campfire and put it in your room. You know, they say that they're efficient, but no, they're usually not. And whenever I have one in a little cabin and we always make sure that the window's open, that cabin's only 14 by 16. We make sure that the window's open so we get air in there for combustion and oxygen.
All right, next question. This one's from Monty in Washington. My house is built with stay-in-place concrete forms, thick styrofoam on the outside and inside sandwich the concrete core. The foam shapes the concrete into a post and beam shape so the concrete is not flat. Should I try to attach a ledger board through the foam to the uneven concrete, or should I go for freestanding? My deck floor is about 5 feet from the ground.
Well, the issue is you should be fine. There should be a bond beam at the top, because that sounds like an old version of the insulated concrete forms. So the old version had kind of a post and beam. Well, it was like a crisscross, like a tic-tac-toe shape to it. So you should be able to bolt right to it. And a lot of times what they'll do is run a bolt all the way through the concrete. There's very few voids, and a lot of the brands don't have any voids in the top part. Now, if you go freestanding, the code requires that the footings, that hold the deck where it's up against the house have to go all the way down into the ground to the same depth of the house footings. So you just can't pour a footing on the dirt, because that dirt hasn't settled enough, even if it's been 25 years. So you're going to have to take footings all the way down below the frost line where it butts up against the house, even though it's freestanding deck. What you can do is you can go ahead and burrow a little hole through the foam and check and see if there's concrete there in that particular area. And then you can spray foam around where the attachments go later on. But normally there's enough concrete there. But the big key, though, is you really have to be careful on flashing, so the water comes down the house, the siding, and doesn't get behind that ledger board. And there are, in that American Wood Council document, it shows you how you should be flashing that to keep the water from getting in around the foam and then underneath some of the wood in that particular area.
All right, let's go back to the phones. 866-780-9100 is the number. Ray is on the line in Ankeny. Hi, Ray.
Hi. I got a wood deck, and I just want to replace a couple of boards with composite. If I get the same thickness composite, can I do that?
Sure. The only thing you didn't notice is just the difference in look. But, yeah, you shouldn't have a problem at all with that. But I would, even with the composite, though, that part of the floor joist, I would cover with, that special, like, acrylic or butyl tape that goes to the top of the joist, keeps the water from going down through the attachments.
All right, Ray, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, Larry in Platteville, Wisconsin. Hi, Larry.
Ooh, good.
Hi there.
What's your question?
I have a patio that currently has three walls and a deck and a ceiling, and I want to close it in and put a fan in there, a ceiling fan. And I'm wondering if I'm better off just screening, or if I should put a window wall in.
Well, I kind of like putting the windows in so you can use it, more, I guess, and just get larger windows. And since you're not looking at efficiencies or anything, basically just stopping a lot of wind, or just so you can use it on cooler days. There some of the larger windows are fairly inexpensive. The other thing you can look to is some of these companies that specifically design three season porches, and that they may be able to just come in and just do that portion for you at quite a bit less money, because they can, than you buying the materials, because they buy in such bulk. And they're used to dealing with structures that aren't perfectly square, especially if this has been there for a while. The openings may be out of whack or whatever. I would check. Brand new. Yeah. I would go ahead and pop for the windows. I'm doing that on a project right now for myself. I went ahead and we're putting windows in. So, and then you can, we're going to probably use it all winter as well, because then you get more bang for your money too. And the screens, it seems like somebody's always gonna bump into a screen or tear it, and then you got to replace the whole doggone thing, which can get pretty pricey and pretty ugly actually.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for your help.
Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, thanks. Larry. All right. Scotty's on the line in northern Missouri. Hello, Scotty.
Hi. Hey, I had a question about a new deck. We're building it with just standard treated pine lumber. I wanted to know when should I stain it and then seal it, and what should I use?
Yeah, that's a pretty good open question there. You know, I would wait till you're sure that what a lot of guys will do is they'll, once treated wood is put down, is they'll drop some water on it, and if the water gets soaked in to the wood, then it's time to you can go ahead and steel or stain. But if you drop some water on top of it and it doesn't go down, it means that it isn't dry enough to take on the product you're going to put onto it. And, you know, 50-50 on whether you go with oil or water-based products. I think some of the newer water-based products, there's one, I think it's called Defy, something like that. And I'm not pushing products either, but there's been quite a bit of, you know, good things said about that one. It's I think it's called Defy Extreme Wood Stain. I'm not sure where you can get it, but that's been pretty popular because it's a water-based and it handles the treated real well. But there's so many other products out there. I just do some research, you know, look at Consumers Report, but wait until that wood can actually take that drop of water before you mess with it.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
And the other thing is, just be real careful. If somebody says, go ahead and start sanding it, be sure and wear, you know, a really good, you know, like an N95 type mask, because that dust is not good for you at all.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Scotty. And we're nearly out of time. We have this question from email. How do you feel about textured deck paint? Will it extend the life of older decking?
You know, that's that same product the caller talked about before, is if you put it on according to the directions, it should be fine. There are some class action lawsuits out, so you better do your research on which brands, you know, have a higher rating. But I like them. I personally do like the product. It's, you know, what amazed me is some of the old treated lumber where it was really dry, like my buddy's place. I mean, there was huge cracks in the wood, and it just fills it. I mean, it's so thick that, in fact, the joints between the deck boards, you had to go with a putty knife or a plastic knife and a putty knife and shove the product down in between because it wanted to actually close the seams. So I personally like the product, but you're going to have to just make sure that you're getting one that's not involved in the lawsuit.
All right. Bill McAnally, thank you so much for being here today.
Well, thanks, Charity, for having me. You have a good day.
You too. Our home improvement expert, Bill McAnally, comes by just about once a month to answer your questions about the home improvement projects in your life. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Rick Brewer, Matt Alvarez, Caitlin Harrop, and Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.